comes the boom.
Welcome to the Morning Mix with Fifth Fleet CMC Christopher King. We bring it to you straight and discuss the street level day-to-day around the U.S. 5th Fleet Naval Forces Central Command. Let's take another expeditionary deep dive into the 5th Fleet mindset.
To me, the most gratifying part is taking care of our people. Our culture is take care of each other. You know, we got to take care of one another. We're, an island out there by ourselves, and it's a team effort.
There's a couple of different training things. We get qualified on some weapon systems, do a little bit of what we call water survival training, if you have to ditch kit, underwater and whatnot, and lots of PT.
I see a bright future of what the Coast Guard does for the U.S., citizens, for the American public, and worldwide.
All right, we're kicking it off, Fleet. We're having a good morning, good start to the day. We've got a lot to talk about. We've got some great special guests in the studio with us, Fleet. First off, Deputy Commodore of the Patrol Forces Southwest Asia, Commander Mario Gill. We've also got the CMC, Tony Martinez. So Fleet, how you want to kick it off this morning? You want to do some introductions? What's your plan of attack?
I see. Yeah, let's give them a minute or two, just kind of tell everybody who they are and what they do for the Coast Guard. So, sir, over to you. You want to start on your end?
Sure. Yeah. Thank you for having us. First of all, my name is Mario Gill. I'm from Miami, Florida, originally from the Dominican Republic, but being Miami. Prior enlisted, I was did 9 years enlisted in the Coast Guard, and then went over to OCS and officer now. I'm a cutterman, so like a surface warfare for the our version of that for the Coast Guard. I've been stationed on 7 cutters through my time, 2 enlisted and the rest as an officer, and I've commanded 2 of those cutters. My last unit was a cutter out of St. Pete, Florida, what we call a medium endurance cutter. And now I'm here, excited to be in Pat Forsois, my first tour here in Pat Forsois, and I'm glad to be part of the team supporting NAVSAN.
That's your first time in Bahrain?
First time in Bahrain. Been here since late April.
Well, awesome. Great to have you, sir.
Thank you, Master Chief. That's great. Yeah, thanks.
Master Chief, how about you?
All right. Good morning, everyone. It's great to be here. Thank you so much for having us here. I'm Tony Martinez. I've been in the Guard now for almost 25 years, originally from Brooklyn, New York. I actually joined the Coast Guard right out of high school, like turned 18 in boot camp. Bosun mate by trade, is now my second command master tour. Prior to that, I was what we call a boat forces professional, where I actually commanded my own small boat station in Long Island, New York, Station Eaton's Neck. I had command of a Coast Guard cutter as well, too, right before I became a senior enlisted leader. Also a what we call a deployable specialized forces unit as well, too.
Never Bahrain, though, either?
Never Bahrain, no, sir.
How'd they offer you the opportunity to come out to Bahrain?
Our assignment process for command senior enlisted leaders has a couple of different tiers. You go for, you interview with flag officers for what we call gold badge jobs. And then if you're not selected for one of those, then you put in your resume for silver badge jobs, is what we call them. And this was one of my top choices as far as silver badge jobs go.
That's great. That's awesome. Hey, sir, so a question I got to ask. I just want to ask you, why the Coast Guard, sir? What brought you to there, and what made you decide to go in the Coast Guard?
Yeah, so as I said, I grew up in the Miami, South Florida area, and I was a U.S. Navy Sea Cadet, actually, growing up. But because there's no Navy in South Florida, we drilled at the U.S. Coast Guard stationed Fort Lauderdale. So I would see those cool guys going out on the small boats. They would take me out. I would spend the weekends there drilling. And it was a lot of fun. So when it came time to, graduate high school and go to the real world, I decided to give the Coast Guard a try. And I haven't turned back since. And, because I grew up as a sea cadet, I've always felt like I maintain a close tie with the Navy. I am a graduate of the U.S. Naval War College, and now I'm here working for the Navy. So at least I kept a little bit of a Navy flavor in my Coast Guard career.
That's great. I know sea services are sea services, so all sailors on board on the water and stuff like that, we're always close and take care of each other. So definitely good to have you guys this morning.
AFN The Eagle. Who the heck did you think you were listening to? Serving America's best.
We're going to explore a little bit more about the Coast Guard, some of the experiences, really unique perspectives that the Coast Guard can bring to this area of operations, and some of the great things that you're doing. What are some of the most rewarding parts of your job out here in the 5th Fleet?
First off, taking care of our people. And that's what Patrol Forces Southwest Asia, PAF4SWAF for short for that. To me, the most gratifying part is taking care of our people, what our cutters do out there for Central Command, for the Middle East region, professional engagements with other countries. We have, part of PAF4SWAF, we have the Maritime Engagement Team. A lot of what they do is go out and conduct subject matter expert exchanges with our partner nations in the area. Master Chief and I don't get to participate in much of them, but we get to go to the graduations and see that we are able to exchange ideas, you know, experiences, and just become better as a team out here. I think those are the most, I guess, gratifying, but to answer your question, fun things that we do at our level.
I will foot stomp that for sure. The Maritime Engagement Team, their depth and breadth of what they do is just absolutely extraordinary. You know, between the different partner engagements, they also do a lot of logistical things for the entire squadron as a whole. And they do some mean PT in the morning, and you know, I've been able to get after that with them too. And they are absolute professionals. I would say too that, you know, going back to Deputy's point about our ships, I recently got the chance to get underway with one of our ships. To sit on the mess deck and just observe as I see people studying, you know, for different qualifications. I see, you know, a group of engineers troubleshooting a mechanical issue, and I see people just kind of walking back and forth. It almost makes me wish that I was back on a ship permanently, because, you know, it's just they're really, the morale is very high. They're very professional in the way they carry themselves, and they're really out here doing a great mission, supporting everything in the region. So very proud of their accomplishments.
Maximum Music.
I love it when you guys play Fuel, Red Hot Chili Peppers,
Black Eyed Peas.
Minimum Repeats.
80s music. I love listening to the Cars, Modern Ingress.
AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
There is something about, you know, getting your hands dirty, getting, you know, into the grease, whether it's in the engine room or wherever it is that you're stationed on board the ships. What other kind of stories do you have, maybe of some heroic bravery that you've maybe witnessed firsthand, or stories that have just been passed down generationally of some of the men and women that are serving with the Coast Guard?
While I was at my station in Long Island, I had a young bosun mate, female, not very big in stature, you know. She was off duty. She was off of Fire Island walking, and she heard some cries for help, and you know, just, you know, heard some commotion by the water, and it was pretty big. There's some pretty big waves coming in, and this young lady sprang into action, went and rescued two men that were basically twice her size. Swimming back, you know, into Fire Island, and like had ambulances, you know, waiting for them, you know, was able to get them, you know, hooked up with EMS, and sent me a text that said, haha, Master Chief, or Senior Chief at the time, if you, I rescued a couple of guys if you just hear about it or whatever. And then I was at a ceremony the next day, and I ran into her mother, you know, who just happened to be attending that ceremony. She was the ombudsman at large for the Coast Guard at the time. And I told her, I was like, yeah, I talked to the member, you know, and she had mentioned the rescue, and her mother gave me the full story about how the weather was and how it was just really nasty, and how all the only training that she had ever had was as a junior lifeguard. So we ended up routing up an award package, and she was awarded with a Silver Lifesaving Medal. For those heroic actions. Those are some of the things, you know, that really inspire me, you know, to see the great work that our crews do, and the fact that there were two gentlemen that got to go home that night because of her.
Is she interested in coming to Bahrain by any chance?
I don't think so. I think she's in a different point in life right now.
Always trying to recruit talent. You can't blame me for that. So
absolutely.
Yeah, sir. How about you? Any pieces there for you?
Yeah, as I mentioned, I'm a ship guy, cutterman by trade, and I could remember my time on the cutter Joseph Tezanos in San Juan, Puerto Rico. In 2017, we responded to Hurricane Irma, which devastated the island of St. Thomas. And also that same year, Hurricane Maria, which devastated the island of Puerto Rico. And just being able to respond to both of those hurricanes and helping the people of St. Thomas, both U.S. Virgin Islands and St. Thomas, St. John's, and then the people of Puerto Rico. For Maria, it was probably one of the most gratifying missions or things I've done in my career. We were the Coast Guard, believe it or not, we were there the very next day on, both islands, bringing them what we could, water, canned goods, and humanitarian supplies. So I feel pretty good about that.
AFM The Eagle. Don't like it? Try it with ketchup. Serving America's best.
Yeah, there's a lot of humanitarian issues that do arise, obviously, throughout the world. And one of the big things that we do pride ourselves on is being there to respond, to help render that aid, as needed. What are some unexpected things that have happened throughout your tours and your experience with the Coast Guard? Some things that just kind of caught you by surprise, but that you can share with our listeners.
About 4 years ago, off of Cape May, New Jersey, I was officer in charge of a patrol boat out of there at the time. We had gotten reports of an entangled leatherback sea turtle. And, there were sharks circling the turtle, and we got on scene, I deployed my small boat, and they ended up cutting the turtle free. We got some good imagery of that video. What surprised me with that was the flood of just news coverage that rescuing one turtle brought to it was just surreal. I was like, wow, like of all the search and rescue cases that we've run, of all the different, law enforcement boardings that we've done, the thing that people connected with most was that we rescued a sea turtle and had this great footage of it. So that I'd call that a pretty big surprise. The crew, it was actually prominently featured in each of the crew's departing awards as we decommissioned the ship. So.
Excellent. Hey, everyone loves those turtles out there. Some of them are on the endangered species list, so we got to do our part, rescue them when needed.
Absolutely.
Awesome, great work there. So speaking of your lines of work, let's go a little bit beyond and help to give some advice maybe for future Coast Guardsmen, service members. From your perspective, your experience, what are some things that every enlisted service member should be aware of going forward?
The ability to lead starts with the ability to follow. And I think that we have, our continuum of, 28 leadership competencies within the Coast Guard. And to me, the most important of those is self-awareness. I think that self-awareness piece really, if you can get that kind of nailed down and really focus on that early on, I think that pays dividends down the road, as you develop, as a member, eventually becoming, a seasoned member of the Coast Guard. And I think, that's something that maybe not a lot of folks, really have right off the bat. When you're 17 years old, 18 years old, you're still trying to figure out who you are and who you want to be. But as you progress in the organization, I think that's something that I've really harped on and really bought into.
Yeah, I mean, definitely self-awareness is one of the very things that we focus on with our leadership development in the Navy. It's kind of central to not only understanding yourself, but the team and how we all work together and the roles that we play. So Commander Gill, thinking about officers, kind of the same question, what goes for the officer side of things? So what are some things that officers should be aware of as they're leading within the Coast Guard?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with Master Chief. Great leaders are also great followers. But I would tell our officers that, take care of your people. Officers get put in leadership positions very early in our careers. I think that if you take care of your people will take care of you and will give their best effort and accomplish any mission assigned.
The choice for all generations. AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
Something you guys both said earlier, and I want to anchor there just for a second. Both of you mentioned command responsibility, both in your kind of background and what you've came up to do. Master Chief, you had some OIC level responsibilities on your own small vessels. And sir, you came from enlisted to officer and you've had command of ships. It's very interesting when you were kind of both talking about that, it was almost as a more junior level. So my sense is there's a lot of responsibility in the Coast Guard super early to be in those high level positions. Any thoughts there, sir, that you could share?
Yeah, so we offer command opportunities for officers at the lieutenant junior grade level, so 02. I had my first command as a 03, and so you get a lot of responsibility pretty early. And when that happens, you're usually not the most experienced on your ship. You usually have a chief that should be able to guide you through, and when you have a strong chief, it makes things a lot easier. So my advice to officers that get put in these positions of great responsibility early on in their career and throughout their career, because it doesn't matter how senior you are, you always have the opportunity to ask the chief and get led the right way and mentored the right way.
Yeah, I think that's great. I know that Naval Services writ large, you typically see the officer and the strong senior enlisted. And if you have that teamwork there that's really good, typically you get a pretty successful unit. So it's very interesting to see your thoughts on it. Mashi, if you have anything you want to add?
Absolutely. Those command responsibilities, you know, come. So there's only one rating in the Coast Guard that gets to do those enlisted command responsibilities, mm-hmm. and that's the bosun mate rating. And we have members as junior as E6 that are placed in charge. And, you know, and for the purposes of, you know, just discussion, the term officer in charge is synonymous with commanding officer. It just means just the enlisted counterpart of that. And we actually have one member of the squadron right now that was an officer in charge as an E6 that's out now on one of the ships and is, you know, primed to probably earn another command position after their tour is complete.
That's impressive. I've gotten to visit a couple of the units that are out here, and I've always been super impressed with the professionalism, the way everything looks, the mature condition of the ships. So whatever the secret sauce is that you guys have going on, please continue. That's really good stuff.
So how long has the Coast Guard been out here, you know, operating hand-in-hand with Central Command?
So the Coast Guard's been out here, Pat Forsoi itself, since 2002. You're working with NAVSEN since Iraqi freedom.
Is this one of the longest-serving places where the Coast Guard and the Navy have kind of collaborated, or are there other places that are kind of similar where we have this kind of roles where we work together for part of the mission?
So currently, we're the largest Coast Guard overseas unit working with DOD. I think we have had in the past and have now smaller teams working throughout the worldwide, really. Our cutters working with the Navy just are deployed. Law enforcement teams, you know, working with different partners and with the port-related security stuff. But I think we're the longest-serving overseas unit working with DOD and the Coast Guard, at least right now.
That's pretty impressive. I mean, to Pat Ashton's point, I mean, the teamwork out here is definitely family level, and I know we appreciate having y'all out here. What else should we know about that partnership? Anything that you can share that's unique to being here, or any training requirements that are new when you guys come out here, just in general and broad terms that you got to think about?
So when we receive orders out here, we actually go through this month-long course over in Camp Lejeune. We have our Special Missions Training Center there, and it's just pre-deployment training. And we do a couple of there's a couple of different training things. You know, we, you know, get qualified in some weapon systems. You know, do a little bit of what we call water survival training. You know, if you have to ditch kit, you know, underwater and whatnot, and lots of PT, lots of really good PT. Good for you, good for me.
It's like three times you said good PT. We may have to talk more about the PT before this thing is over.
You know, and we do, we do some other stuff too. You know, as far as, you know, like just a little bit of familiarization, like entry control point and that kind of stuff there. So things to get us ready to meet, you know, any CENTCOM requirements. You know, to get us ready for theater.
AFM The Eagle, the only radio network big enough to kick butt and take names. Serving America's best.
Now, what do you think? If you were the first time walking up to a Coast Guard cutter, what would you ask? What would be like the question? Be like, wow, what is the thing I'm going to ask when I talk to these guys? What would you discuss?
Yeah, so the first thing that comes to my mind is my uncle, actually. He served in the Coast Guard in the Chesapeake Bay area. So he would share with me all these interesting stories and encounters in the bay and some of the stuff that he dealt with. So I have a great respect for the Coast Guard and the work that they do, you know, both in the States and internationally now as well. But just getting on board is, what's different? What's the culture like in the Coast Guard? Maybe when you compare it to the Navy or the Army or some of these other branches, how would you describe your culture? What makes it a little bit different and unique?
Yeah, so I could talk about that. And specifically, I'll talk about my community in the Coast Guard, which is the cutter community. Those cutters are out there. They fight fires by themselves. They fight bad guys by themselves. They save lives by themselves. They take care of each other. So when you are on a Coast Guard cutter, that's your family, especially when you're away from home for however long. So I think our culture is take care of each other. You know, we got to take care of one another. We're, you know, an island out there by ourselves, and it's a team effort. If we look at it like that, it's a team effort, it's a family, it's take care of each other. We can accomplish any mission that we're assigned.
AFM The Eagle. We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. Serving America's best.
All right, we've been exploring a little bit about culture in the Coast Guard, the interoperability out here in this theater. But specifically, let's circle back to leadership styles, how that trust and that family dynamic is kind of built within military structure. So in some of your experience, some of your educational experiences, I'm sure have shaped the way that you approach and how you engage, coach, and mentor your Coast Guardsmen. So what are some examples of how you bring in some of that mentoring styles?
I think giving people the benefit of the doubt right away really, really, you know, kind of establishes, you know, a good foundation. So we run what we call port and starboard duty sections, you know, where, you know, our members will take, you know, they'll be on, two off, you know, sliding 3-day weekends. And I had a member whose spouse had a significant like health scare, you know, with, you know, maybe even like facing a potential like amputation, like something very serious. And the member had asked me if he'd be permitted to day work, you know, just working, you know, Monday through Friday, you know, to kind of have that flexibility to take his spouse, you know, to appointments, you know, and specialists and whatnot. Without even a second thought, I said, absolutely. You know, something that I thought that was very small and just a very, you know, no-brainer, like, yeah, go, dude, take care of your wife, you know. Came back to me years later and said, you know, you didn't know me from Adam. You know, I could have been completely trying to scam you, and you just went right ahead and said, you know, yeah, right away. And you know, he said that really caused him to kind of buy in, you know, to the culture, you know, that we were building at the unit at the time. And I think treating people like people and knowing, you know, that that their families, you know, their families really matter, you know, not, you know, the old adage of, you know, oh, did they come in your sea bag? You know, that, you know, that's those days are gone, you know, and we really need to focus on making members whole. And I think that's how we start with our culture.
Excellent. So a little bit of empathy in your leadership style. So having that empathy, being able to put yourself in their shoes or their perspective, and how it comes full circle then. I mean, you said they came back to you and kind of talked to you then after, and what that meant to them, that buy-in that built.
Absolutely, that emotional intelligence piece. I can't stress that enough. That EQ, you really need that, especially in today's generation. Especially, I think it buys you credibility.
You know, I agree with Master Chief. I've also, you know, had experiences where you give this person the day off to go take care of a family member, or you know, even, you know, send them back from a patrol or port call to attend, you know, a funeral, or to take care of an ill family member, goes a long way. And most of the time, that pays back dividends to our service, to the unit. Most of the time, they're very thankful and will do anything for the unit.
I got you. So with that said, my assumption is that someone took care of the two of you. And so I have a question, and if you have something to share, that'd be great. If you think back to your mentors and those that made such an impact for you, what was one piece of advice perhaps you got as a more junior member that made a big difference in your career, made you want to kind of do more, be better, be faster, more PT, whatever that may be? What would be something that they would have shared with you that you might could share with us?
I've had many mentors in my career that have guided me in different ways, but they've always told me to give my best effort and to maintain a positive attitude in everything I do. And, you know, always look at the glass half full, always try my best, and then things will just line up somehow. And I think they have for me.
I like that. I appreciate that, sir. Thank you. Master Chief, how about you?
There was one mentor that I had in particular that no matter what happened, every single day as we all departed, said, thank you for your hard work. And it's just something small, just something to recognize, you know, that, you know, maybe we worked, you know, above and beyond that day, and maybe we didn't, you know, maybe we took care of a couple of things, but didn't really, you know, throw our all in everything because maybe we didn't have to. Maybe our work list wasn't that big, but no matter what, just that consistency of thank you for your hard work. That really meant a lot, and that helped shape the few things or two for sure.
AFM The Eagle. We don't care how you got here. We're just glad you showed up. Serving America's best.
Thinking about the Coast Guard, you know, how does someone join? I mean, every branch has their own, you know, kind of pathways and age, all those different things that come into play. If someone was interested in kind of being a part of the team with the Coast Guard, how do they go about doing that?
You could join the Coast Guard as early as 17 with your parents' permission, and as late as 42. It's just been extended.
Yes, sir.
And, you know, so right out of high school, you could join, like Master Chief and I both did. Or you could also go to the Coast Guard Academy, which, again, right after high school, apply for the Coast Guard Academy. Both are good ways to join. You know, for more information, go CoastGuard.com.
I could remember just reading through the pamphlets, you know, and going to Battery Park, you know, and just starting the recruiting process there, and, you know, swearing in a delayed entry on April 1st, you know, April Fool's Day. But, yeah, there was no April Fool's that day. Like, we were definitely getting in it to win it. That's just get in contact with your recruiters. They're out there, and we're definitely hiring. So
we are. And I'll add something to that, just because Master Chief said April 1st, and I also have an April 1st story. I reported to boot camp April 1st. 1997. So I was, you know, welcome to boot camp, and no April Fools for you.
No April Fools. Well, I will tell you both, that's the Navy Chief birthday
right.
So you guys joined on a very auspicious occasion. So it's very good that we have that connection. That's awesome. Yes, sir.
Well, hey, as we like look back when we all joined and all of the stories that we've experienced, looking ahead, getting out on the horizon, putting eyes out there, what types of things do you see coming for the Coast Guard in the road ahead? Or what changes do you see, you know, coming for the U.S. Coast Guard?
Yeah, so I'll say there's a bright future for the U.S. Coast Guard. We're looking to grow in numbers of people, numbers of ships, numbers of assets, aircraft, small boats. So I see a bright future of what the Coast Guard does for the U.S., you know, citizens, for the American public. And worldwide, just, you know, we're here, but a bright future for the Coast Guard.
Absolutely. You know, we've got a great culture in the Coast Guard, you know, and seeing our senior leaders really working to strengthen that service culture, you know, that's very inspiring. You know, as we bring these new assets online, you know, as we take on a more on a global mission set, we've been here in Pat-Forsois for over two decades, you know, these missions, you know, continue, you know, globally, you know, whether we're talking about the Indo-Pacific or, you know, or whether we're talking about the Arctic region, you know, we've got Coast Guardsmen, you know, Coasties, as we call them, Sentinels, you know, we've got them operating all over the globe now, you know, and, you know, working jointly, you know, with partner nations, you know, with our Navy brothers and sisters, and, you know, and it's really a beautiful thing because it's a lot different than the Coast Guard that I joined a long time ago. So,
well, speaking of joining, I hear that the birthday's coming up soon. Is that correct?
That's right. Our 234th birthday since the establishment of the Cutter Revenue Service, which is where the Coast Guard comes from. We were established August 4th, 1790.
Wow. Congratulations. What a storied history. So is there going to be anything on base that people could attend or see, or kind of celebration of that birthday? Or?
Yeah. NSA Bahrain, the galley, was gracious enough to cut a cake for us the day after our birthday. So all are welcome to come.
That's awesome. So it'll be surf and turf and plenty of Coast Guard birthday and history and heritage on the same day.
That's right.
That'd be great.
Monday, surf and turf in the galley.
Awesome. Very good.
Maximum music.
I love it when you guys play Fuel, Red Hot Chili Peppers,
Black Eyed Peas.
Minimum repeats.
80s music. I love listening to the Cars, Modern Ingress.
AFN The Eagle, serving America's best.
Excellent. Well, thinking about history and heritage and celebrations, you know, my favorite part of the whole show here,
Fleet.
Here
it comes. Here it comes.
Yeah, we've got some trivia. We've got some trivia questions. This one is kind of history related and a little bit of on this day. So on this day, August 5th, we've got some history and some trivia. But before that, I've got our question of the day. So we'll go around with that. If you could listen to only one type of genre of music for the rest of your life, what genre would it be? We'll start with you, Commander.
That's very difficult because I like all kinds of music. But I'll say, I have to, you know, being my family's Dominican, I'll have to say the merengue. I like merengue.
Being a New York City kid, I got to say hip hop. That's my jam.
Some hip hop. All right. And Fleet?
I'm torn, but I've got to say hip hop too. So I would say if that's all I could listen to anymore, it's going to be hip hop.
All right. Well, you heard it here. We've got all the music genres here at AFN. So here it's time for some trivia questions. The first one, we'll start with you, Commander. What emperor would enter Alexandria, Egypt, bring it under control of the Roman Republic this month in August of the year 30 BC? Is it A, Marcus Aurelius, B, Hadrian, C, Octavian, or D, Alexander the Great?
No idea. Is it Alexander the Great?
That would be incorrect. Yeah. That'll be incorrect. We'll pass it down the line. CMC Martinez.
Could we repeat those choices, please?
Yeah, so was it A, Marcus Aurelius, B, Hadrian, C, Octavian, or D, Alexander the Great?
I'm going to go with Octavian.
Octavian would be correct. He was also later known as Augustus, which is where the name of August derives from. All right. Next trivia question. We're going to start with you, Fleet. Who was captured in 1305 after leading the Scottish resistance to the English? Was it A, Robert Burns, B, Robert the Bruce, C, Rob Roy, or D, William Wallace?
I'm going to have to go William Wallace.
You'd be absolutely correct. You know, I'm reminded of the movie Braveheart, of course.
Freedom.
Yeah, you'll never take our freedom. All right, we're going to circle back to you, Commander. This is the third trivia question. Who was the rear admiral who led the Union during the naval battle of Mobile Bay in 1864? Was it A, Admiral David Nixon Porter, B, Admiral William V. Pratt, C, Admiral David Farragut, or D, Admiral William LeHay?
Again, I don't think I'm going to get it right, but I'll try with Admiral Farragut.
You'd be absolutely correct. Of course, there was a saying that would go along with that. The torpedoes, four bells, Captain Drayton, go ahead, Jouett, full speed ahead.
See, I did learn something at the Naval War College.
That's right. That's
very
right.
Very good, sir.
All right, CMC Martinez, the last trivia question. See if you can, take it away, maybe for the win here, if you get this one. What statue is located at 74 degrees west, 2 minutes, and around 40 seconds longitude? Is it A, Mount Rushmore, B, Our Lady of the Rockies, C, the Statue of Liberty, or D, the Gateway Arch?
It's going to be the Statue of Liberty.
Absolutely correct. You got it. The Statue of Liberty. It was gifted back in the 1800s, and you're absolutely correct. Looks like you took away the trivia here today, so you got the most wins out of everyone. How do you feel?
I feel like as a New York City kid, I should have gotten that right.
I think so, too. Well done. Well done.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, again, thank you all for coming into the station to share a little bit about the U.S. Coast Guard. Before you leave, if you have any final thoughts, some things that you want to share, whether it's motivation or, you know, if you've got some shout outs, anything that you want to cover for the Coast Guard.
You know, I'll say first, thanks for having us, you know, and giving us the opportunity to talk about our Coast Guard, our unit here, PAT-4 SWA, and our people. It's great working with the Navy, great working with, you know, NAVSENT. And then I'll say, please join us as we celebrate our 234th birthday.
Thank you so much for this opportunity. This is a great one. This is one that I never would have seen coming coming to this assignment. I never thought I'd be in the Armed Forces Network. So it's a pretty cool experience. And I just want to thank you all for your hospitality. You know, for everything that you do for us. You know, as we serve. You know, this great nation of ours. You know, as the most forward deployed Coast Guard unit that there is. And just thank you again. I can't thank you enough.
Just as we close this out, I just want to tell both of you, thank you. I know we're all super busy, so it's good to have the experience. This has been great to share and understand how many common threads we have concerning people, early experiences joining, our opportunities to serve, the training we get, our readiness, the different cultures, and the responsibilities, what it means to be in charge of the citizens of our great nation. I just want to tell you both, thanks for your service, and we're super proud to have you on the team, and I look forward to working with you in the future. And for all those out there listening, please keep up the great work. Have a great day. It's a hot one. Please stay hydrated, and we'll see you out there.